telling me to go where I came from. Such a long way, I don't even know where I am.
Hello and welcome to episode number one of the Light in the Attic podcast. It's only taken us about 13 years, believe it or not, to get to this point. My name's Matt Sullivan, and I am the founder of Light in the Attic Records. We are a Los Angeles and Seattle-based record label primarily focused on reissues, finding long-lost recordings and putting them back in print on CDs. Yes, people still buy those, bless their souls, vinyl and digital. Over the years, we put out about 150 titles from artists such as Karen Dalton, Jim Sullivan, Serge Gainsbourg, and Jane Birkin. Lots of comps such as Native North America and Country Funk, and many other things over the years. This is the first episode, so we're excited to do these more often. The goal is to touch on some of the stories behind these releases. And on this episode, we're going to talk about our upcoming Record Store Day releases. That's the annual holiday celebrating the joys and love of the record store. This year's Record Store Day is on Saturday, April 18th, 2015. So today we're going to talk about what we have upcoming on that holiday. And the first release we'll be discussing is the Shogun Assassin soundtrack, which came out originally in 1980. We'll also be touching on our upcoming reissue of Willie Nelson's Teatro, an album he recorded with Dana Lenoir in a Oxnard, California movie theater. And we'll also be chatting about the annual Light in the Attic zine with the editor of the zine, Lydia Hyslop. So thanks for joining us. And without further ado, Shogun Assassin.
Return to the vanished kingdoms of ancient times. Journey through a lost empire of mad wizards and barbaric passions. Behold the saga of a legendary warrior, a loving father who has the power of a dozen armies in one sweep of his mystic blade. This is a story of honor, disgrace, vengeance. Massacre. And a man who became a demon. Shogun Assassin. Once, he was the greatest of the magnificent samurai. Now, he hunts the evil lords who butchered his wife and stained his honor. One man and one child defy the most notorious masters of death on the planet. Like father, like son, meets the greatest team in the history of mass slaughter. Nothing on earth can match their infernal fury. Nothing on the screen can match this awesome spectacle of sword and sorcery. Shogun Assassin.
That was the audio from the original film trailer for Shogun Assassin, the soundtrack for which we're releasing on this Record Store Day. That was a little snippet of a track from Shogun Assassin called Eyes of a Demon, just to kind of give you a sense of the futuristic, synthy, ominous, electronic vibes of the album. It's one of our official Record Store Day releases this year, and it's pressed on blood red wax. It comes with a really cool full-size original movie poster. My name is Jackie, and I'm putting together this here podcast. And it's my first time, so no laughing, okay? Now we're going to talk about Willie Nelson's Teatro.
What can you say about Willie Nelson that hasn't already been said? The dude has 300 albums. He's one of the all-time greats. But in all that, I must say, Teatro, his album from the 1990s, might be one of my personal favorites. The records with Waylon are hard to beat, but something about Teatro just is incredibly special. It was recorded at an abandoned movie theater in Oxnard, California, with producer Daniel Lanois. Around the same time, Daniel recorded Bob Dylan's Time Out of Mind and Emmylou Harris's Wrecking Ball in the same movie theater. Teatro has a 9-piece backing band, including Emmylou and Bobby Nelson. For years, we tried to get Willie and Daniel on the phone, hoping that they could reminisce about the record, tell us a little bit about what happened, how it all went down. The quality is total shit, so bear with us, but finally, Willie and Daniel were kind enough to talk to myself and Patrick McCarthy, who's a project manager here at Light in the Attic. We thought this would be a good moment to play the recording. So here it is.
Hang on 1 second. I'll patch Willie through to you. Hang on.
Hey, Daniel. How you doing?
Oh, Willie, I'm good. Nice to hear your voice. Are you on the road?
Yeah, we're somewhere out here. I think we're in Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's good. Looks like we're going to put a little bit of life back into Teatro. That's great, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Heck yeah. I guess to start, you know, how'd the record come about?
Thinking about it, Daniel, what do you remember about how it all came about?
Well, it was, I'm sure Mr. Rothbaum was at the helm, but all business aside, when we decided to make the record, I wanted to make sure that Willie felt comfortable in the studio and that it did not feel like a usual recording session. I met Willie in Las Vegas, yeah, and we rode on his bus to California, where I have, at the time I had a Teatro recording studio, and an old cinema in Oxnard, so we rode from Vegas, and Emmylou Harris joined us on the bus, and we went over some of the material on the bus, and then I kept in touch with my crew back in California to make sure that the studio had a nice dance hall feeling, because I talked with Willie on the bus. I said, what was it like when you were getting started, man? And he said, well, we were kind of a dance band, and we're providing music for people on the weekend to dance to and have a nice time. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to provide this tone for Willie, have a kind of a dance hall feeling in the place. And so we had set up three little stages, you know, one for Willie, one for Emmy, one for me, and then two drummers. And it was a very beautiful, almost like a Cuban nightclub setting. And I think that really helped to set the tone of this album. What do you think, Willie?
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, Emmylou was fantastic. And we did a video, too. I'm trying to remember. What song was the video? Do you remember?
Well, we did, we filmed the whole thing with Ben Benders.
Benders.
And that's beautiful film. A whole film. That's a beautiful film that goes with the whole thing. And it never got aired a lot, but maybe we should try and knock on somebody's door and say, this is a good time to play the film.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I think it deserves to have a chance out there.
Yeah. But it was a lovely it was really a lovely, harmonious process. We were, I was happy to be on Willie's bus, and we were just chilling and working out the songs. And so when I got to the destination, I made a decision to ask Willie to be it. The theater had a nice parking lot, so there's plenty of room outside. We sort of camped out outside. Willie had his trailer there, and I just wanted to make sure that we didn't burn out Willie. So I said to him, just don't even be in the studio. You stay on the truck. I'll come out and get you so that when you come in, everything's going to be fresh. So I was rehearsing the band on the inside, and when I felt like it was the moment of strike, I'd go out and get Willie, and then we cut out in one or two takes. we did the whole record in 4 days.
Wow.
Well, you know, when you're having fun, it don't take long.
Well, yeah, said.
Well,
that's great. And Willie, what are some of your good memories of the album and the recording sessions?
Well, I remember that we had some great rhythms there. Two drummers and maybe a couple of bass players. I'm not sure who all played bass. Did we have two or just one?
No, Willie. I played the bass. I overdubbed the bass after. So we had the two drummers, and then we had two keyboard players. We had Aaron Embry, and then from Toronto, a guy named Brian Griffith on the guitar, the great slide player. And I think bass players make too many mistakes. So I knew the arrangement, so I overdubbed the bass myself.
Well, it turned out great. I liked it. I think it should have had a bigger, run back there. It was kind of quick. It came and went pretty quick, but maybe you'll get another shot.
Yeah, maybe you'll get another shot. And Willie, you're absolutely right. There was a very rhythmic foundation that we laid out, which was pretty sweet because there was two great drummers, Victor Indrizio and Tony Mangurian. There was some kind of genius inviting these two guys because one is a left-handed drummer and the other one is a right-handed drummer, so they could sit at one big drum kit together and not get in anybody's way.
That's great.
And so the one guy's hi-hat on the left, the other guy's on the right, so it was pretty fucking funny. But because they were literally sitting together, the rhythms were locked, and so we had some really nice, some very nice grooves going, and I don't know, it's hard to describe the full sensation of it, but one thing for sure is
the theater. The theater where we shot it too was perfect. It was a great feel, and it was like a big nightclub or dance hall.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is Patrick. I just wanted to jump in and say one of my favorite songs on the record is one that you wrote, Daniel, the song "The Maker," and it's so cinematic and big.
Yes. Well, the good thing about The Maker is I thought it was a good song for Willie because it gave him an opportunity to play with the phrasing because the lyric lines were quite brief. Oh, deep water, black and cold like the night. So it's not a soaring melody. It's more of a stabbing melody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really suits Willie's way of looking at vocal phrasing. So, Willie, thanks for doing the song, man.
Well, it was a lot of fun to sing.
Beautiful, beautiful song. What do you guys think? You know, it's been 16 years now. What do you, what do you think of the record? I mean, do you feel it stands up, or do you feel it's unique and all the things you guys have worked on?
I'm just glad to see some, some folks paying attention to it again and thinking about putting it out there again. It certainly deserves another shot, I think.
And what about go ahead.
Is it 16 years already?
Yeah, 1998.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, man. We have no shortage of passion and power, and devotion to the music. So if an opportunity comes up to for us to go another round sometime, Willie can count on me. How about that?
Well, count on me too. I'd love to do it. Sounds like a good plan.
That was our next question. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, we're only ever driven by, you know, by quality and magic. I mean, we hope to get it, and
it, what about any? Helps. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it helps when people are talented. So we had a little bit of an manager. I think we had Mr. Nelson in there on the vocals, so we had a pretty good chance.
And any thoughts, Willie, of maybe performing the album live one of these days?
Well, that would be great. I would be glad to do that sometime once, you know, if it comes out and we can promote it some way and showcase it, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, magical. Maybe back at the theater or something in Oxnard.
Oh, maybe back at the theater. I think it's for rent again. You know, I eventually moved out of there, but I think I heard that it's been a church since we had it, Willie. So I think it's,
okay.
But I saw a for rent sign on it. So.
So there's a sound you guys got there that's just magical. You guys have brought a lot of happiness to us over the years. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
thank you very much. It's good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks
all right,
so
Willie.
Much.
Nice to hear your voice, and I'm looking forward to putting a little bit of juice back into Teatro. So, you get any additional ideas, give me a call, okay?
All right. Same to you.
Thanks so much.
Love you. Mark, thank you so much for your time, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
The sun is filled with ice and gives no warmth at all. And the sky was never blue. The stars are raindrops searching for a place to fall. And I never cared for you.
Time for a public service announcement from a local organization called NARTAPES.
I know you're listening to the Light in the Attic podcast, but we've got some exciting news!
Coming this record store day on Light in the Attic Records, Shogun Assassin original motion picture soundtrack on vinyl for the very first time. Rest on Blood Red Wax, Teatro by Willie Nelson, on Gold Wax for the very first time! And just like every record store day, it's the return of the Light in the Attic scene. Issue 7. Grip these two exciting new releases and scene this record store day from Light in the Attic Records.
Legend has it that each year on Record Store Day, the Light in the Attic zine magically appears as if by alchemy in fine retailers across the globe. These small, ancient newsprint catalogs of days gone by unveil highlights from the past year's releases, teasers of things to come, and other pertinent musical musings. Pick one up for free at your local wax purveyor on Record Store Day. Our very own Matt Sullivan was lucky enough to sit down with the editor of the Light in the Attic zine, Lydia Hyslip.
All right. So, Lydia, you are the editor of the zine.
I sure am.
The annual Light in the Attic zine, that is.
It happens annually.
And what can you tell us about the zine?
Well, I really love doing the zine. It makes me really excited to be the editor of a publication. I think that zines are becoming a lost art form. Reading is becoming a lost art form. And I'm a real big literary nerd, so it brings me a lot of joy to be able to curate something that is really cool. And I don't know if anybody reads it, but they should, and if they don't, they suck.
Well, for folks who don't know, the zine's been around. This is our issue seven. And, you know, it's kind of changed up a little this year. There's, like, a crossword puzzle. There's horoscopes. We've kind of, like, widened our scope here a little. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. a Q&A with, like, there's a new feature called Behind the
Bulb.
I want to say bubble. Could you tell us about Behind the Bulb?
Yes. The new feature, Behind the Bulb, was kind of a group collaboration. I feel like we were meeting in the LA office and kicking around some ideas to spice up the zine. And I believe our own Patrick McCarthy may have coined the term Behind the Bulb, as he is a wordsmith in his own right. But I think it was kind of just like a group effort making some more editorial interesting things in the zine, not just excerpts from liner notes and facts, which are great, and we try and highlight the best of the best in the zine, but, you know, just making it a little more personable and having, showing a different side of Light in the Attic that we had never shown before. So we decided to profile co-owner of Light in the Attic, Mr. Josh Wright, who is a mystery to all of us. We love him. He's our friend and one of our leaders, but he's still a mystery. So, you know, I had some burning questions that I wanted to throw out there to him, and I feel that we dug as deep as we could, and he still remains a mystery, which I must, you know, I've got to say, I really appreciate the fact that even though I tried to ask him all the questions that I wanted to know, he's maintained that illusion of, he's a mystery man.
what are some other highlights in the scene?
Well, you mentioned the new highlights, which are the crossword
actually,
puzzle.
Actually, let me just interrupt. Let's talk about the cover of the zine. That's the highlight of the zine.
I'm going to give a slow clap or a fast clap because they deserve it. Sugluck! I love Sugluck.
And who is Sugluck?
Sugluck is one of the artists featured on Native North America Volume 1, which is this astounding compilation of tragically underheard and underrepresented peoples in the indigenous aboriginal area of North America, i.e. Canada and Alaska. And Sugluck, I was verklempt. I couldn't even speak. Their music, it was all recorded in this, it was a CBC recording of a live show. Do you know when, or it was like this, I think it was like 70s.
71 or 2, maybe? 3?
They reference 71 in one of their songs, okay. So I'm assuming it was after that.
Tell us about the photo.
The photo? Okay. The cover of the zine features Sugluck, which is a really awesome, tough, amazing, intimidating, breathtaking photo of 5 denim-clad men. With ferocious hair. And for me, honestly, though, the photo was the icing on the cake, okay? What is real is when you listen to those recordings and you hear these guys and they're singing and it's so raw and it's not perfect, but it's so passionate and heartfelt and rockin'. I mean, it's like, okay, like, garage rock, all right, we all love garage rock, right? Like, it's super cool to like garage rock, but it's also cool, like, just in general. It's cool before it was cool. It's really fucking good. Are we allowed to say that on the podcast?
Yeah, this is free form.
Is this radio-free
radio-free podcast thing?
Radio-free Los Angeles closet. We're in a closet. Side note. The picture speaks for itself. You're going to have to pick up a copy of the zine to really witness the full glory, but it is representative of the music, and I'm not just saying that. I really, truly have fallen in love with this band, and...
Well, there's a reason they're on the cover.
They're on the cover.
Yeah.
Because they're fucking awesome.
It's true.
They're 5 badasses. To this day, they can still bring the house down, quote, unquote.
I think that kind of wraps it up. Yeah. I don't know how you could top that.
They're incredible.
Sugluck for...
Life?
Life.
Sug life.
I think I'll write a song. different song for you. Reminds of love we had and never found any when we were alone today. You took your hand away to get the truth behind. I wanted to settle down, but far away
And that's the show. Thanks again for listening. My name's Matt Sullivan, and come back next time for more stories behind Light in the Attic.
Be sure to check out the NAR Tapes podcast, NAR FM TGIF, and their new shop in Highland Park, Los Angeles. Thanks for listening.